Let's go back to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3. And we were involved with Paul's sufferings that he mentioned here in the third chapter. And he went through verse 10, 11, 12, and 13, and we made it through 11. But we had a couple of verses left, and then Paul kind of changes it around to Timothy, and to tell Timothy what his ministry should be, and where it come from, and who he heard it from, and all these things there. So hopefully we can get three verses in tonight, because there's not a lot of scripture that goes with it, but we'll try. And so, but I want to go back and read 10 and 11 before we get into the study, because it's what, been 2 or 3 weeks since we've gotten into the Word. So it says in 2 Timothy 3:10, it says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience." And then we went on through 11 with this list of words that goes on. And he says of his ministry, or Paul's suffering, he goes on to say persecutions, afflictions, or sufferings, which came unto me at Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, full stop. And it says, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And he is talking about these three places where he was going through Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And that's where they stoned him to death. And he died there, and they were standing there, or standing around, and he got his life back again. And he went from there, he went back to these other two places, because they knew and understood that the word had gotten out that they had stoned Paul to death, and he had died. But the great miracle was that Paul was alive again. And so it behooved them to turn around in Lystra and go back through Iconium and Antioch to show the people where these people had run off and left and spread the word that Paul had died. We got him. He's dead. But no, according to the Apostle Paul, he says, but out of the, he said, I endured this persecution, but out of these all, the Lord delivered me. So he gave him his life back again at that point. A great miracle. A great understanding there. And these people probably could not have believed what they heard, because words like that would make it to these other little towns pretty quick. And so I suppose the next day or two or three they had a time explaining this to people where they went back to. Here's one that's been stoned to death, but he's still alive. Oh, well. What a time. What a time. What a thing. And so we'll get started with our study there, but I wanted to bring that up again, because that is a great story to tell regardless. And I don't think we can do it enough. And so we get back to verse 12, and we got two more verses here that deals with Paul's suffering toward his last days. And verse 12 says this, yea, and you can't find too much on the word yea, but when he said that God delivered him, then he could say yea or yes, or for sure. Or he certainly said that he delivered me. And it says also, if we look at it, said, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So his testimony was that this wasn't his first rodeo. Everywhere he went, after he left Damascus, after he'd been struck down and went over into Syria, and God showed him what he would need to know over in Syria. And he came back to Damascus because when he was there to take these people prisoners and take them back to Jerusalem and put them in jail to punish them for preaching Christ. Well, after being there 3 days and three nights, nobody really saw him but the guy that God sent to pray for him. And so there was only two gates in the city of Damascus, and that's the way it still is. And it's basically the oldest city that we know of in the world today. And one big thoroughfare that goes through the city, and the rest of it's got a wall. It's a kerjack. And that's what kerjack means, the walled city. But he could go out the gate because nobody didn't really have anything against him there. But when he went out and he was gone for a little while, some days, and he came back, well, people were watching the gate all the time, who was going and coming. And he came back, he could get in because they didn't know of all these things that had gone on in his life during those days or weeks that he was gone. But when he came back, he had been given a different attitude, and he had gotten on the right road instead of the wrong road. You know, I did a study on Walt for a while, and in the Old Testament, the word Walt, there's two words, is Halak and Yalak. And Halak is like you want to go, but Yalak is like when you get the fork in the road. One is the way you want to go, and the other is the way God wants you to go. And so that's the difference in the two. So he could come back in. So he came back in. And evidently he was here about 3 years. And so while he was in there, those Jews that were there, they met in the synagogue, and he was preaching Christ. They couldn't believe him. But yeah, he had a change of mind and a change of heart. And his wisdom now was that God was giving him. And so his story was in this verse of scripture that, and I'll just go ahead and read it. Yea, and all that will live or wish to live godly. And to live godly, the wish or the will is is to wish or to desire, and is the emotional element which leads to consequential action. The natural impulse is stronger than the reasoned resolve. So you see, there's a reason to live godly. And the word godly there is eusebos, is to live godly in Christ Jesus. Those that wish or will to be in God's will that way, he says, they shall suffer persecutions. And persecutions, if you wanted to look it up in the Strong's, in the Greek, it's 2152 or 2153. And it means piously or devout or well revelant. And so this was what Paul had to say about that. But he wanted to warn everybody again that if you took up Christ, you're going to be there for persecutions. Because every time since Paul got changed, that's what followed him around. And it followed him around while he was persecuting them, and they wanted to kill him then, but they wanted to kill him even more now that he has went from life to death to life again. And now he's preaching the one he says he didn't care for to begin with. And he says, so if you get in that way, if you get chosen or called, then you're going to have to suffer some persecution. They're not going to let you alone because they're going to try to stamp out this thing of Jesus Christ. And so with that verse of Scripture, let's see what Jack said about it. And we'll do it just like we've been doing it. And that's verse 12. And looking at it from the Koine Greek, it's just a little bit different. And it says, and all indeed who wish godly to live in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So that's the way it comes out of the Koine Greek. And because it said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So you can kind of expect it. It's something if people don't know Christ. And you give them a chance to understand it, they'll turn a deaf ear and walk away most of the time. But here's what Jack says. Here is a fact of the body believer's life. It's easy to say don't complain, but when the persecution arrives at your door, how will you react? The answer is the axiom. Your successful response will be godly. In fact, with godly as a way of life now. The response is reasonably spiritual and pleasing to God. So this is the reasonable answer to what Paul had said that happened to him. But he says, when God chooses you, he can take care of you. And he can give you hope and give you understanding. Then there's three places here that we want to go to and Scripture to look at that goes along with that particular verse of Scripture. And the verse that we want to look at first is Colossians. That's after Ephesians and Philippians. And we'll go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to look at 9 through 12. And this is on page 1781. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. And it says, "For this cause also, or we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasings." Get on the right road, folks. Get on the road that God sends you on, not on the road you want to go. "Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." To have an inheritance with or of the saints in light. That is Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Okay, we want to go from there to, let's see, 1 Timothy 2. Okay, we'll go on by 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Yeah, 1 Timothy 2. There's three places in Timothy that Jack wanted us to look at. 1 Timothy 2 and 3. And 2 and 3 is on page 1801. If you have a companion Bible, and this is 1 Timothy 2 and 3. It says, "For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Because this is the way that God would have men to live if they lived a life for Christ. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." So this was a list of instructions and discipline for men, for kings, and for others. Okay? And then we got one in chapter 4, and we're going to look from verse 6 to 8 on 1804. Chapter 4, 4 to 6. And then we're going to go to chapter 6 next. It says in 1804, on page 1804, if you have a companion Bible, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So Paul knew what Timothy had heard, but he was left in Ephesus to do the work that Paul wanted him to do, and that's the reason that Paul was writing back to Timothy, because he had not been with Paul for a while in 1st or 2nd Timothy. But nevertheless, Paul had come to understand that he wasn't going to be around very much longer, and he needed to talk with Timothy, and he could do it by these letters that he's writing. And so we're going to look at, let me get into my notes again. Chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 3 to 11 on page 1806. So part of it's on 1806, part of it's on 1807. Okay. We're going to start at 6:3. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to the doctrine, which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, full stop. Why did they put a full stop in the scripture there? It says, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay, we're going down to 11. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. God has furnished us what we need if we will only just allow him to let us use it. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, Timothy, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So you see the difference, so the contrast between these things. And we see and we understand that, and it is so much more prevalent in this day and age. Everybody goes around and says, well, trust me, I know where I'm going, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, they may be wise, but they don't have the wisdom of God. They may have the wisdom of man, because that following after money is the root of all evil. It's man's thing. It's not God's thing. Power. If you're looking for somebody that's looking for power, you're looking for the wrong gentleman. Okay, one more we want to look at. There are two more. We want to look at Titus. So let's pass 2 Timothy and go to Titus. A couple of pages over past Timothy. We're into Titus. And we want to go to Titus 1 and look at the first three verses, chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3 again. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, or God's choosing, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. It ain't after money. It isn't after worldly riches. It's after godliness. In hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior, because he had met him there after he struck blind and prayed for and left and come back with a changed heart and a changed mind and a brand new sermon to preach. Okay, let's go from that to Titus 2:11. If you got a companion Bible, you can turn one page and you'll be there. If I can get these pages and snap, we'll get it done. We're going 2:11 to 14 on page 1818. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us," or buy us back, "from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." And so that's what Jack put in here to help us understand that verse of Scripture in 2 Timothy 3. Now, there's one more verse there. Let's get to it. According to Paul's sufferings here. Look at 13. It said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So Paul realizes when he's looks out of those eyes that he had that had been blind at one time, and he can see and understand that these people are going at it worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So the deception grows and grows. It seems like deception grows more than truth does. I guess people would rather believe a lie than to believe what God has said. And I can only see in my lifetime, I can see that that's probably a very true statement. Verse 13. Says, but, that's the first word, but. When you see the word but to begin a verse of Scripture, you know that that's not the end of the story. You could say but now if you would like, because Paul did it a lot. But now. When he does that, he's giving you the one hand and then the other hand. It says, but even in this day, Paul says, when he's writing this, it's in about 65, 6 or 7, somewhere in there, AD 65, 6 or 7, even in this day, evil. And the evil there is the noun of that, and in the concordance, the word in this is poneros. It means full of labor, full of labor and pains, working mischief. Evil intent, or you've heard the old story, you've given me the evil eye. Well, it's all that falls into the same category. These men, evil men and seducers. And the seducers is the word goes, G-O-E-S in English. It says shall wax. And wax there means to proceed. You know, back then, in those days, they would write a letter and roll it up and take the candle and put two or three drops of wax on it. And the king, if he wrote it, or the person in charge wrote it, he would turn over and stamp it with his stamp. And that was like sealing an envelope. And wherever you took it to, whoever it was supposed to go to, when you handed it to him and it was unsealed, he'd know that somebody else had read his mail. But as long as the wax is still intact on that letter, then it's his letter. Nobody's seen it. Nobody's read it. That's the way the kings would do it. If they sent somebody to another king or whatever and didn't want them to know what was in the letter that the other king would write. So Paul uses this word there that they would, he said, the seducers shall wax or proceed worse and worse. And that means to take what these seducers are saying and put it into another level or a deeper level. They dig in a hole deeper. It's like you dig a grave 6 foot deep and you put man in it, but this is like digging it on down to another level. And that's what it means here. It goes on to a deeper level. Deceiving themselves, they're deceiving themselves, but they're also being deceived while they're deceiving. And so Paul uses this to send us back into the scripture again. But let's see what Jack said about that verse of scripture. And that is verse 13. Out of the Koine Greek, it says, deceivers and men and impostors shall proceed upon the worse, leading astray and being led astray. And then out of the more modern English, it says, but men deceivers and impostors shall proceed upon the worse, leading astray and being led astray. The people who are leading our nations and international organizations engage in as a part of their political duties, varieties of deceit and media posturing to bring about certain ends they perceive to be good and desirable. They wrongly perceive themselves to be more important than they are. God is not considered in the process of their activities. Wow. Wow. They are in the business of deceiving others en masse, meaning everybody. But they themselves are being deceived with the help of their faulty premises. And Jack says, body members, look around you. Look around yourself. I don't know how many years ago he wrote this, but he could see it even then. So we're going back and look at these three places here. Let's go back to Ephesians. Yeah, Ephesians. That's the first one. Ephesians 5:15-20. Ephesians 5. Yeah, okay, let me get over here. Where's that? Ephesians 5. That's on page 1768. Ephesians 5, what did I say? Ephesians 5:15-20. It's on that, all on that one page. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So Paul is always talking to us about our walk. And he says, you got to walk circumspectly. You got to walk the right way. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. He's still looking through them old poor eyes that he had, but he could still see these things. Bless his heart. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. And I like to put "for the all things" there. Unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll just add 21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Okay, that's the first one. And the second one that we want to look at is some that we don't normally read, but we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians, we're going to look at chapter 2 and read verses 2 through 4. 2 Thessalonians 2 at page 1796, and we're going to read 2 through 4. I'll just read one, because 2 Thessalonians was written early and they were looking for the coming of the Lord, not the appearing. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. Full stop. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or all that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, I get from that that there are a lot of people that are seeking power, even in this day and age. That hasn't changed. The Second Thessalonians was written back a few years before these others that we've been looking at has. But still, all that is there, that we might get an understanding of it. The next one is in 1 Timothy, so we can go just beyond. Second Thessalonians to the 4th chapter of 1 Timothy again. And I thought I had it marked, but I may not have had. I'll see right now in just a second. 1 Timothy 4. Oh, yeah, I see now. It's on two different pages. 4, 1 through 6. Chapter 4, 1 Timothy. Starts out on 1803. Now, it says, the Spirit speaketh expressly, or with exact words, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Okay, let me turn the page. It says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if we receive it with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word, of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So he knew Timothy had attained this because Timothy had been with him for a long time as a young man and had heard just about all that Paul has had to say, but he hasn't been with Paul a lot during 1 and 2 Timothy. He had been away. He had been doing, establishing those people that Paul had talked to in Ephesians. And Paul had a lot to say to those people in Ephesus. A lot to say. Okay. So that concludes that part Paul's sufferings in his last days. And that runs from Titus 3:10 through 13. Then when we get to verse 14 here, and we'll go ahead and get into it a little bit. So let me get over here. I figured we could get to it a little faster than that, but then, so 14. If you got a companion Bible, you see the little space between 13 and 14. That means that things change a little bit. That's part of the structure of the way God has laid his words out in structure. And so now he's going to talk to Timothy. Just like he is sitting there with him across from a table or something. Because this is going back to Timothy, and he's going to hear. To Timothy's ministry, it runs from chapter 3, verse 14 to chapter 4, verse 2. So you see, that's just one little section of the word here. And let's just read 14. And it says, but. Here's another but. So he's continuing on. But Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, Paul says, I put a lot into you, boy. You remember it. So that's in a nutshell is basically what he's saying. Let me just read my note there. It says, but continue to abide, stay within my bounds and knowledge, that you, Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned, didst learn, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And Paul says, Timothy, I've given you a road map. I'm not going to say you walk, but he says, I've given you a road map. You follow that road map, you'll be okay. Because he's fixing to turn it over to him here. Because we're getting pretty close to the end of 2 Timothy. Now, let me read you what Jack says here in 14, right quick. Out of the Koine Greek, he said, you but abide in those things you learned and were assured of, having known from whom you have learned. When Paul spoke, it was like God was speaking through him. And he was. Because that's what a good preacher does. He puts forth God's word in the way that God would have it put. Okay. Now here's what Jack said about it. Those who are in truth should abide in the things you've learned. The people who taught you are reliable. Now, of course, this is speaking of things in the word and truth from the Lord of the world. Consistency may be success, may be the success in this on earth. However, truth alone guarantees spiritual and abiding success. Those who have taught are only correct in as much as they had prospered in the word. Two places here. We want to see, we'll do that right quick. Turn with me back to 2 Samuel, chapter 7. Going way back, Yeah, 2 Samuel 7 and verse 16 through 18. This is on page 417 in your companion Bible. 16 through 18 of chapter 7. It says, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." This is Nathan speaking to David. "According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan, not Nathaniel, but Nathan speaking to David. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, 'Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?'" He said, what house have you brought me into? He had brought David into the house of God. And he had given David rule to be king over Israel for 30 years. And so David was kind of questioning God about, well, why me? Or as the old songwriter wrote, "Why me, Lord?" And I think about that every time I read that. But, yeah. Okay, but let's go from there. I want to go to 1 Corinthians. And right after Romans, we got 1 Corinthians 15. And I want to look at 56 through 58. Or 55 through 58. It says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And so that finished up what I call the resurrection chapter. That's 1 Corinthians 15. And that's what Jack had put there for us to see. We'll pick up with verse 15 and go on with it next time. We're out of time for this day, and I've enjoyed being back with you, and I hope that you've been blessed by what we've read and what we've come to and what we've understood, and to realize that sometimes we want to think it's all great and good, but we still live in this old world of sin. And believe it or not, the people there are a sinful bunch, and it seems like the falling away gets greater and greater every day. I've never seen such. In the 85 and a half years that I've lived, and when I come to know anything early on in my life, it was the war. I wasn't born during the war, but I was born not long before the war started. And I have written a little book, and it's not finished, but I'm writing a little book to my great-grandchildren. And I've got one great-grandchild now that's just finished his training for the National Guard. And when I turn the TV on and see where all these places are bummed out, it brings back memories of when I was 3 or 4 years old going with Mama to the movies and seeing the news reels. And I put in my little book, I said, I thought the war was the problem for everybody, for all the bad things that are going on. I thought it was the war. And I still kindly understand it to be that way. Because it separated my mom and dad, and I didn't have my mom for 7 years. But like when God raised Paul back from being stoned to death, he got up, he went back up the road. One day from the time I was 7 years old, I didn't have my mom until I was 14 years old. And one of her children had died. And my aunt and uncle come to the school and asked my principal if I could go with them to see my mama. And I went down to see Mom, and when I walked up the steps into her house, her little girl was laying in a casket in there in the living room. I'd never seen her. Never seen my other sister, half-sister. I hadn't seen Mom for 7 years. And they said, come on back. Your mom wants to see you. I said, okay. I went back there and we had a little hug fest. And a little kissing. And all of a sudden, my mom got down on her knees and said, Cecil, I want you to forgive me for all the things I have caused to you during these years. And I wasn't a believer then, but I looked at her and I said, Mom, get off your knees. You're talking to the wrong person. Because I don't have anything against you. You had to do what you felt you had to do. But yet, I had learned a lot about God's Word through my grandpa and Grandma McCurry. And so when I read these things, all that kind of comes back. A lot of times people say, well, you grow up, you learn it, and then you get old and forget it all. No, I don't forget it all. Can't forget that. And so that's been one blessing of God that He allowed me that I never forgot. And my wife was the other. I could have looked the state or the South over, could not have found one that was more suitable for me. And she and I had some words about what we come to believe and understand, but nevertheless, I understand that is our hope. Now, it's a little tough, but we both had to unload our wagon a little bit in order to get on down the road. So, I'll just leave that with you. But bow with me and we'll close and remember the things, and it does us good to think back to those things that we truly have understood that God has given us that we couldn't have made it without. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we come again this day, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of being shown wisdom, knowledge, truth, and understanding that we never thought or heard of, in the sense that we could understand it and use it in the way that you have for us. But glory be to God, that day came, and understanding is still coming. And Lord, we ask you to bless our words and to bless our testimony of your love to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And to realize that what he did for us, we could not do for ourselves. God, we thank you for the all things. Because we know in this life, that is a creation being brought forth that will go with us to our grave. And the creation that comes forth from that will be that we truly never one day heard of, but one day we did. God bless and be with us, Lord. Thank you for the privilege and the honor. Be with those that we mentioned. The families that lost their loved ones and the young lady that's going in for surgery. And remember me next month and get these kidney stones taken care of. But Lord, will I do? Leave it in your hands. Thank you, Lord, for all the privileges and all the love that you've shown to me and to man and to all those that love the appearing of our Lord. In Christ's name we ask it this day. Amen.